Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, good morning. It's great to see you. We're almost at Chinese New Year's and the start of another year. And we're almost done with our series on Abide. This morning we have perhaps one of my favorite ones of this series on abiding in Christ. And today we're going to be talking about how the Word bears fruit in our lives, or how to live a productive life. I think all of us want to be productive in our lives. Nobody wants to live a life that's empty or that comes that at the end of life we look and say, what have I accomplished, and don't know what that is. All of us want to be productive, and the Bible talks a lot about being productive in our lives. It uses this word fruitful is mostly how the Bible talks about it, and it says that we're actually called, chosen to bear fruit in our lives. This is God's intention for each and every one of us. It's the reason you're sitting here today. The Bible says we haven't chosen God, but God's actually chosen us to be fruitful in our lives. And I'm just thinking, as we've been talking about the things we're going to do in Chinese New Year's, and how there are a bunch of folks I know that we're going to go and do some strawberry picking. And that's, that's exciting. So, who here has ever been strawberry picking? A few. In New York City, where we live, in New York, that was a thing there as well. Go strawberry picking, you know. And research says, a few years back, they did a study on what is the happiest fruit. And strawberry won. In fact, they said 86% of people get happy just thinking about strawberries. I don't know how that works, but you know. So today we're all just going to focus and think about strawberries, you know. But there's something about fruit, bearing fruit, that brings joy to our lives. And so we're going to be talking about that today. What is it about fruit that brings joy to our lives? What does it mean? So a quick outline today so you know where we're going. We're just going to talk about what it means to be fruitful. What does the Bible mean when it says be fruitful? Why should we be fruitful? What does the Bible say about the benefits of being fruitful in our lives, living productive lives, and how to be fruitful? Our theme verse today is John chapter 15, verses 4 through 8. It says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word that teaches us, instructs us, gives us wisdom for life. And Lord God, today as we look into your word to see what do you mean, God, and how do you call us to be productive in our lives? What wisdom, Lord, can your word give us in order to be fruitful with our lives? And Lord, today we just say, come Holy Spirit, speak to each and every one of us. I open my heart to you and invite you, Lord, to speak in a way that will transform me, make me new, and most of all, make me more fruitful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does it mean to be fruitful in life? We're called, we're chosen. This is why Jesus chose you, why he called you to be fruitful. So when he says, I've called you to be fruitful, what does he mean? Because there's a lot of different ideas of what fruitfulness looks like, right? Having a lot of kids, having a big bank account, having a lot of companies, having, you know, so what does that mean? Well, three things. Number one, it means blessing. When a person is fruitful, it means that there's a blessing in that. So we just look at fruit. What does fruit do for us? Fruit is an amazing blessing to us. Not only strawberries make us happy, but fruit in general is a huge blessing to our lives. So many health studies just show the benefits of eating fruit in our lives. fruits reduce the risk of so many different diseases, whether it's heart disease, cancer, dementia. Just study after study after study show the benefits of fruit in our lives. Fruit gives you better skin, better blood pressure. You know, just fruits have the antioxidants. In fact, you can find almost every vitamin in the alphabet you can find in a fruit somewhere. And it helps our digestion. It has that fiber that helps us. It quenches our thirst. It's sweet. There's just so many blessings that come from eating fruit, right? We love fruits. I mean, Taiwan has so many amazing fruits. We have this amazing fruit stand right next to our apartment. And now we can't get fruit there. They only sell it online. We haven't figured out how to get it yet. Every time we go there, it's like sold out, 7 a.m., sold out. You know, so we haven't figured it out yet. One of the great disappointments in life. But why? Because we love fruit. So fruit is a blessing. You see a fruit tree, you know, where I grew up in Hawaii, everybody has fruit trees. And you love the neighbors that just say, come on in. You have mango, lychee, whatever you want. You know, it's there. So fruit is a blessing. Second thing about fruit is being fruitful is it's for reproduction. So fruits naturally reproduce. Peach trees reproduce peaches, which reproduce peach trees, right? Pineapples reproduce pineapple, I guess, bushes, right? What are those? I don't even know what they call those little things. Pineapple trees. No. You know, peanuts reproduce peanut plants. Whatever it is, by nature, fruits reproduce. So being fruitful means you reproduce yourself. You bless people, you make them happy, you make them healthy, and you reproduce yourself. And the third thing that fruitfulness means is that you multiply. No farmer ever wants to grow an apple tree, get one apple from that tree, and then plant that seed and get one other apple tree that produces one more apple. You're going to go out of business really fast if you don't multiply. I actually worked with in agriculture for a whole year with a bunch of peanut farmers in Texas, of all places. So for a year, I was working for peanuts. But peanut farms, right? Every peanut, when you plant a peanut, normally it produces 25 to 50 peanuts per peanut plant. So every peanut produces 25 to 50 fold. And for the peanut plants that farmers raise, they'll produce up to 100 peanuts per plant. So 100 fold. That's why they make money. But see, we're created to multiply. So when God says be fruitful, he means one, be a blessing to people. Make them happy, make them healthy, quench their thirst, be sweet. It means to reproduce. So when we're fruitful, we reproduce ourselves in others. Christ is reproduced in us, and then we reproduce Christ in others. And thirdly, it means to multiply. So make more people who are followers of Christ like you, happy like you, a blessing like you. Okay, so that's what it means to be fruitful. It means to be a blessing, to reproduce, and to multiply. But why does the Bible call us to be fruitful? A few simple things right from the scriptures that we read, the passage. In verse 7, it says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So if we abide in Christ, fruitfulness means that our prayers get answered. And we love answered prayer. And we've just been seeing, as we've been praying for people, we've just been seeing prayers be answered. And I love that in our little prayer chat, we're seeing how God is performing just miracles. People getting healed. Just recently, Sister Gina sent me a little write-up and saying, yeah, I'm just so overwhelmed at all the things that God has done in my life. She had a major traumatic accident a few years back that just affected every part of her body. And over the years, just doctors have struggled to be able to bring healing. And she was about to just give up her studies here and go back home just because the pain in her body was so severe. And then we prayed for her, and God turned that around. And just thing after thing that the doctors say couldn't be healed, God has healed in her life. And she's just one of several in that prayer list who they're saying, the doctors are calling it incredible. Our family is saying it's a miracle. And we're just seeing God again and again answer prayer. And this is what God has done, not just here, but all over the place. That's what it means to be fruitful, to see answered prayer. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So what else does it do? It glorifies God. The beginning of the service, Kevin read a verse that says that God's glory is going to fill the earth. That's God's intention, to fill the earth with his glory. How is that going to happen? It's not going to just like fall down from heaven. It's actually you and I that bring God honor. What does it mean to glorify God? It means that we are just constantly talking about how amazing he is, and people are hearing about how amazing it is. So it's kind of like we all become a part of the Jesus fan club, you know, or what are they, I guess, online you have these blogs and stuff about all these different athletes, and they want to know everything about this athlete, and that's, you know, they love Steph Curry, or they love football, Joel Embiid, or those guys who love Tom Brady, or, you know, and they just want to know everything about him, and he's their hero. Every time he plays, they're watching, and they cheer for him, and they want to tell all their friends how he's the greatest, and they'll argue with anybody that he's the greatest of all time, you know. So this is what it means to give someone glory, and God says we're to give him glory. We're to tell people about how amazing God is. And if anybody says something is greater than God, we just say, there's no way. Let me just show you how great God is. And then we pull out all of our facts and say, here's why God is the greatest of all time. Right? We give God glory. And how does the Bible say that happens? It happens by our fruitfulness. We're all called to be fruitful and to give God glory. There's a verse I learned growing up. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, glory is where we're supposed to attain to. But when we live lives of sin, where we fail God or don't do the things that God recommends that we do, commands that we do, then we fall short of the glory of God. We stop to bringing God glory. In other words, we stop being fruitful in our lives. We stop being a blessing to others in our lives. God's intention for each and every one of us is that we would live blessed lives and that our lives would be blessings to others. This is what the Bible calls the Abrahamic promise, or the promise to Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be blessed, and through you, everyone else on earth is going to be blessed. That's God's intention, is that we would be a blessing. We would be fruitful, make people happy and healthy. But when we sin, what sin does is it diminishes our ability to be a blessing. And so we fall short of that glory of God. We fall short of the fruitfulness that glorifies God in our lives. So God intends to be glorified by fruitfulness. The other thing that why we do fruitfulness is that fruitfulness shows that we're disciples. If we're disciples, this is the fruit of being a disciple, is that you're fruitful. You're a blessing to others. After we finish this Abide series, we have one more sermon. We're going to go into a series on discipleship. And just what does it mean to be a disciple so that you can be fruitful and be a blessing to others? This is God's intention for our lives, and it's why we want to be fruitful, because it shows that we're disciples. And then the last thing, verse 11, says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So as Jesus teaches them about fruitfulness and how to be fruitful, he says, the reason why I'm teaching you this is that your joy could be full. That means that we live lives that in every situation, there's a joy that is transcendent, that is present in our best moments and our worst moments. There's a joy. That's the Christian life. And so if you find yourself frustrated, if you find yourself depressed, then there's something in God's intention for your life that you're missing. Because it doesn't mean that we won't have times of grieving or sorrow, but even in the moments of grieving and sorrow, there's a joy. And that's why Paul can say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Because no matter what you do to me, if you leave me alive, I'm going to keep spreading Jesus. And I love spreading Jesus. And if you kill me, I'm going to be with Jesus. So win-win. You do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep on going and make my life about Jesus. And that's what Jesus does in our lives. That's what fruitfulness does in our lives. It brings a joy that is full, it's complete, it's overflowing. It's a joy that lasts regardless of the circumstances. And we've had a lot of tough circumstances this past year. I don't know about you, but we need that kind of joy, because circumstances are always going to go up and down in our lives. Relationships around us will go up and down in our lives. What we need is a joy so that whatever happens in the bad situations, we become the spreaders of joy and peace. When relationships get difficult, we just don't go down and fight with those who are fighting with us. We bring joy to those who are fighting with us. That's what the Bible says. You can love your enemies. You can bless those or be fruitful towards those who despitefully use you, persecute you. This is the Christianity that the world needs, and this is the Christianity that Christ lived and what he intends for us. He wants the way that he lived to be reproduced in us. That's what it means to be fruitful, to be a blessing, to reproduce, and to multiply. So how are we to be fruitful? Because this is the important part, you know? It's nice to talk about what fruit does and the blessings that it brings and all the good stuff about fruit. But the real issue is, how do we become fruitful people in our lives? And luckily, Jesus told us how to do that. So John chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Simply, you abide. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So simply abide in Christ. That's our part. I mean, in some sense, it's really simple. We just abide in Christ. We keep that relationship connected with Christ, and naturally, fruit comes out. So you don't have the pineapple trees, you know, and the strawberries. I got to make strawberries today. No, they just abide. If they stay rooted and in the ground, they're going to just naturally produce strawberries. This is what they do. And then that produces joy in us. Just thinking about them makes us happy. So in our lives, if we stay rooted in Christ, it takes the struggle out of being fruitful and becomes the natural byproduct of our relationship with Christ. So abide in me and I in you. In fact, Jesus says it this way: without me, if you don't abide with me, there's no way you can be fruitful. You can't do anything. And he's not just pointing the finger at us, because earlier in the book of John, he says the same thing about himself. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, he says this. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing, and greater works than these he will show him, so that you may marvel." So Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. But I'm not doing it. I can't do anything without the Father. And so when we place our dependency on Christ and stay abiding in him, all we are doing is reproducing the way that Christ lived. So Christ's fruitfulness is for us to be like him, just like he was like the Father. So Jesus showed us fruitfulness. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because my fruitfulness is to be just like the Father. And for us now, our fruitfulness is to be just like Jesus. That's why we study the word. This is why we preach about Jesus. Because our goal is to be a representative of who he is. Super simple. Be like Jesus. Let Jesus be reproduced in you. And then the scripture goes on. John chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus says this: every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. That word clean is the same word as pruned. So already you're pruned. Why? By the word I've spoken to you. But he says, every branch that does bear fruit, God prunes. So what does God mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, I'm pruning you? What does that look like? What is Jesus pruning us of? Is he like taking off an arm, cutting off a foot, you know? Sometimes we think it's things in our lives. I always talk about, man, you know, my bank account goes down and say, God is pruning my bank account. It's a bummer, you know? So often we refer to pruning as circumstance. But really, what is God interested in? He's less interested in the circumstance and more interested in our hearts. That's what God looks at. So when God is pruning, what is he doing? He's pruning our hearts. And what is it in our hearts that he's pruning? It's values, it's perspectives, it's ideas that we have. God prunes these things. Why? So that we can produce more fruit. And that's an interesting thing. That first we bear fruit, and God looks at us and says, oh, you're bearing fruit, let me prune something. And I wonder, how does that work? Well, we've seen a very interesting, I mean, we have actually seen it quite a bit in our daily Bible reading in the book of Matthew, how Jesus prunes his disciples. Right now we're kind of we've been reading like Matthew 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, the teen chapters of the book of Matthew. And Jesus, again and again, he starts pruning things in their lives. As they get all excited, the disciples, and they're serving Jesus, and chronologically, you want to take the Bible always kind of in context. When is this happening? What else is going on? And why is Jesus doing this? And chronologically, this season here where Jesus is teaching in the book of Matthew is after he sent the disciples out to go and minister. So he sent the 12 out. They went, saw all these miracles happening. And so now they're getting excited because they're seeing reproduction. The way that Jesus ministered, all the things that Jesus did, healing people, casting out demons, they're seeing it happen in their own lives. Like, Jesus, you should have been there, Jesus. You will not believe, you know. And then, of course, after doing all these things, what's one of the things that comes up in Matthew? It's like, so Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And what's the context behind that? It's, you know, Peter said, man, I saw a guy raised from the dead. John saying, I laid hands on a blind guy and his eyes came open. You know, top that. And this other guy's like, well, you know, I went and talked to my mother-in-law. She loves me now. That's the greatest miracle of all. But you see all these miracles that the disciples are doing. They're coming back and they're reporting. Jesus is amazing. And so as they're all reporting, so Jesus, now who's the greatest? And Jesus is like, okay, all the miracle stuff, that's good. This stuff about who's the greatest, prune. We got to prune that, you know, prune that out. And see how that works. As we begin to get fruitful in God, it oftentimes starts to show other areas of our lives that need pruning. And so then God prunes that away. We're fruitful and we're blessing and people like us. And then we start to get popular and then we start feeling that popularity. And like, I must be the most popular guy. And then prune, you know. So this is what Jesus does. Right? It's interesting, right, how Jesus does that. Was they're starting to minister and more people are coming and they're like, man, we there's so many people. We have to use our time, Jesus. You have to use your time wisely. And you have to get good return on investment of your time. And so, you know, the disciples are like, keep the kids away. There's no ROI there. Get the rabbis and the rich people, influential, let them come to Jesus and, you know, keep the kids away. And what does Jesus do? Okay, you know, it's great that we're ministering, but we don't value some people or this. Let the kids come to me. What is that? A little bit of pruning. This is what the kingdom of God is like. I have to, you know, you've seen some of it. You've seen one aspect, the miracles and crowds gathering. Now you got to see another part of it. You're going to prune away some of the wrong ideas that you have. And this is what Jesus does throughout. He doesn't kick the disciples out. Can I get someone else to follow? I need a new group of disciples. Rather, he just prunes, right? I love that what about Peter, right? It's like, Jesus, you know, when Jesus says, who do you say I am? Well, Jesus, we've seen all these miracles and stuff. You're the Messiah. And Jesus is like, you got it, you know? And Jesus says, so now I'm going to die. Jesus, things are going so well. Just don't, we're going to take over. Just don't die on us, you know? And Jesus is like, actually, that's exactly what has to happen. It's that little bit of pruning. God's ways are so different from ours. We just have to be open to the pruning. And how do we get pruning? Jesus said this, it's the words I've spoken to you. You just need to obey those things. So verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So what he's saying, let my words abide. We can abide in Christ and say, I'm so in Christ and worshiping all the time. But we also have to let the word of God abide in us. Because that's the pruning that comes. Let the little kids come. I have to die and you have to die. Take up your cross. These are the things that help to prune us in the midst of our walking. John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40 says this, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So what is Jesus saying here? He says, as you read the word, it's not just about getting knowledge, but you have to find me. And when you find me, I'm going to speak to you. And then life happens. So it has to come back to life. It has to come back to transformation in our lives. In our daily reading, there's this one, I forget which day it was, but Jesus told his disciples, hey, watch out for the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're like, okay, you know, because we forgot bread. He wants to go buy bread, but not from the Pharisees. I'm not sure what Jesus is talking about. And then they finally figure, oh, Jesus is talking about the teaching. And I was thinking, so what's the difference between Jesus' teaching and the teaching of the Pharisees? And the thing you find about the Pharisees in Judaism is you have the Torah, the law, but then you have this huge other teachings that are even bigger than the Torah. There's volume after volume, volume after what they call the Talmud, which is all people's commentary on the law. And what the Jewish leaders started to do is they placed more emphasis on the commentary than actually on the law. And so it's everybody's opinion. This is what I think it says. Well, this is what, and so-and-so thinks this. And then they start fighting all the time over who's right. And so it just kept getting bigger and bigger because I think this guy said it right. And someone else says, well, I disagree with him and let me write my bit of commentary. And then you have commentary upon commentary upon commentary. And I like sometimes, because I'm a preacher, sometimes I like some of these blogs, you know, Christian blogs about like free will versus God's sovereignty. And it's fun to hear these, read these things. And these guys are tearing each other apart, belittling each other. You can't be a Christian because of this. And you get in there, you think, this sounds like in America, Democrats versus Republicans. It's just like they hate each other and, you know, belittle each other and call each other names. And you're thinking, I think we lost something in there. We kind of lost the plot in there. Why? Because we stopped looking for Jesus. You search the scriptures, but you're just looking to win arguments. You're just looking to try to be right. You're just trying to look for the knowledge of good and evil, which reminds me of the Garden of Eden, which God said, don't eat that tree. Instead, are we finding Jesus? Because being fruitful means that Jesus gets reproduced in us. And if we don't look like Jesus, then we're getting the wrong application of the scripture. I love how the disciples, after they went out, like, you know, and they're doing all these things and they're doing all these miracles and they're getting their followers. And then someone else, they find out, Jesus, there's some other guys out there and they're not part of us. You know, shall we go, you know, condemn them, kick them out, whatever, you know, and Jesus, like, he says, if they're not against us, they're for us. In other words, Why are you trying to create all this division? People are being a blessing. That's great. Let them go be a blessing. Let's call down fire from heaven. And Jesus is like, no, that's not what we do. He says, we follow Jesus. We want to become more like him. So we abide in him. We allow ourselves to be pruned. We read the word. We obey the word. Verse 9 and 10 of John chapter 15 says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and obey and remain in his love. This is what it means. In the end, it all comes back to love. That's why Jesus simplified it all. He says, you want to be fruitful? Do this. Check your love for God and your love for people. This is where fruitfulness comes from. This is my commandment for you. If we read on in verses 12 and 13, it says, this is my commandment. So you want to know what commandment to keep? This is my commandment. Love each other the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then Jesus goes into that famous thing where he says, now I'm calling you my friends. And where does this friendship come from? It comes from listening to Jesus, becoming a reflection of him, doing what he says to do, allowing him to prune our lives, staying in the word and finding Jesus. What does Jesus look like as we study the word? This is love. This is friendship with God. This is what we're created for. And this is what we so often miss in all our study of the word and our efforts to be Christians. We miss the love of God. We miss Jesus in the scriptures. It becomes about us and what we know and what we can do and why we're smarter than somebody else or know more than somebody else, rather than being a blessing to them, rather than being Jesus to them, rather than trying to multiply Jesus in them. And that all takes place through the avenue of love. And today, maybe there's some of us here who have never entered into that kind of relationship with Jesus. Maybe we've even done a lot of religion, but we've never had that relationship with Jesus. We've searched the scriptures, but we actually haven't found him. I want to just pray today for those who maybe have never had that kind of friendship with Jesus. Or maybe you've had that in the past and had tastes of it, but just want more of it. Then I want to pray with you today. Would you just bow your heads? Heavenly Father, today we come to you. We're so thankful for Jesus and your desire that we would be fruitful people, that we would live truly productive, fruitful lives. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've made it in one way so easy that if we just abide in our relationship with Jesus, if we just open our hearts to that love, that fruit just naturally comes out of that abiding. Father, today we just come to you and we lay down, Lord, our sinful desires, our sinful actions, anything that takes us away from you, away from being a reflection of you, away from being a blessing to others, away from multiplying you in others. God, I pray that we would be so, Lord, overwhelmed with your love. God, I pray that we would have just a fresh understanding of your love for us. And maybe for some of us, understanding it for the very first time. God, we say, forgive us of our sins and the things that have damaged that love. And come and be Lord of our lives. May we abide in you. May we obey all that you command. And every time you speak to us, every time we hear your voice in the scriptures, God, that we will be quick to obey. That we will allow you to prune the things out of our lives that don't align with you and your heart. So Lord, may we abide in you and your words abide in us, that we might become fruitful people. That as we've experienced your love of laying down your life for us, we would love others with that same love, and that they would feel blessed through our relationship with them. That Father God, as we love others the way that you've loved us, that others would begin to see Jesus in us. And that, Father, as we love others the way that you've loved us, your love would be reproduced in others, that others would come to love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.